Welcome, everybody, to another Spotlight episode of Hanover Happenings. I am here with our finance department for the town of Hanover. If we would all introduce ourselves, maybe from newest employee to longest serving. So, Ellen, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Hi, I'm Ellen Bullion, and I'm the director of finance here for the town of Hanover. And I have been on the job full time 1 week and 2 days. So I'm immersing myself, learning the ropes, and happy to be here.
Cool. Thank you, Ellen.
I'm Tammy Chapin, and I've been with Hanover for just under 6 months, and I'm the finance manager.
And just learned that Tammy started on my birthday. Don't know what that means, but...
And I'm Karen McCusker. I've been here for 7 years in finance. 17 years in finance.
17 years. Great. So you've got Tammy and Ellen beat by a couple days.
Yeah, but they got the brains.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about it. So these are the three folks who work in our finance department. And tell us a little bit about what the finance department does. What's the sort of day-to-day process? What are some of the things that you all work on?
I work on payroll, accounts payable, accounts receivable, and all the daily cash deposits. I do billing. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what else. That seems like a lot right now.
And so it's a lot of when we're sending invoices out, money's coming in, money's going out,
yep.
And you're handling a lot of those transactions, basically.
Yep, and then all the daily deposits from each department.
Right.
So they all collect their cash. And bring
and there's
it to
a
finance.
Few that are pretty significant on a regular basis.
Yes.
Which departments kind of have the most money coming in on a daily basis?
Tax clerks during water and sewer and property, and then parking during month end for all their permits. And those are the two biggest that we get cash in for.
Right.
Other departments we bill, so those are coming in by checks.
Okay.
So we bill out for dispatch.
Right.
Fire alarms. Fingerprints.
Right.
Special detail. So all the odds, the departments send me the bills and we send them out.
Great. That sounds good.
And I assist and oversee some of what Karen does, and a lot of special projects right now, since we're playing some catch up on some things with some staffing changes, and we're short leadership for a while, so both of us have had to jump in and pick up some pieces for state reporting or for the tax rate setting, try and get a jump start, help with budgeting, and playing some catch up on things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Go ahead.
And I'd just like to express my appreciation for, for during that time when, the finance team didn't have a leader and Tammy and Karen really stepped up and put in a lot of extra effort. So I really appreciate that. As far as what I do day to day, I'm still figuring that out. But at this time of year, the biggest focus, of course, is putting together the budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year. So that's taking up most of my attention. The rest of my time I'm spending asking Karen and Tammy questions.
As do I, as do many other departments often.
Right.
And now that leads us to one of the things that we had been talking about a little bit before is sort of procedure, process improvements, things that you all have noticed over time that we can do to make things maybe run a little more streamlined. Some of this comes up because we were forced to think about it a little bit because we had, depends on how you do the math exactly, but being down one person in a three-person department is a pretty significant number. And so that sort of pushes some of these issues to the surface. And there was one, Tammy, that we were all just talking about a minute ago, if you just want to mention that.
We are pretty much paper-based right now, and I think we have the capability to go to a more computerized process. And instead of paper, just put our electronic things straight into our computer system to track our finances, as well as then have them available for departments for when they have questions about those. Right now, we have to go to file drawers if there are questions, instead of just hit a few keys.
And I can say as a millennial, I have a really hard time, I don't know, file cabinets. I just don't know how to, you know, finding things on a computer I can do, finding things in paper, very difficult. But we all kind of struggle with that because it's time consuming and it takes up a lot of space. And one of the things that, so what are the sort of questions that might pop up? If a department, I mean, what are people looking for? What kind of information might they need that they would reach out about?
Has a bill been paid? Have we given you this bill yet? How much was paid? And if you could go to the computer system and see what's been paid and pull up that document, that then also gives the support. Or we get, when we send out invoices, they want to know if they've been invoiced. So they contact the department contacts us.
Right.
We respond to the department responds to the person.
It's a few steps.
So, yes, so you can streamline a lot as well and put more control into the department.
Right. So that would enable department heads or other individuals in the department to just log right in. Oh, has this invoice been paid? Let me check. Oh, yes, it has. Or no, it hasn't. They can communicate back to the vendor. Done. You all don't have to be interrupted.
Yes.
Right.
They could actually enter the invoice right into the system if they had access. Because basically they're creating a document and they're sending that document to us.
Right.
Where they don't really need to create a document. They could just go into their system, enter the document, and then email it to the vendor.
Right.
And print a copy for themselves if they want to print one, but they don't have to. They could put it into a PDF.
Right. Well, and we could even, from a standpoint of reviewing and approving purchasing, right, that's one of the things that we've talked about wanting to create some more internal processes and procedures and controls and some of these things. And doing that, which is not something we totally do for most purchases right now, but if you were to do that on paper, that's a lot of steps as far as different signatures being required and moving paper around. But if it's done electronically, I mean, it could be easy as someone saying, here's this thing that I want to buy. It goes into a queue. Somebody else approves it. Yeah. And it just sort of moves from there.
And that's how our PO process works now.
Right.
Is it has to be done to department level. Then the department head signs it or approves it online. And then I believe it goes to the finance director and the assistant.
Okay.
And then they print it, approve it, and it's done. But that by that time, it's been approved by the director. So they know, do we have this money? Are we going to spend it? And then at the budget level, they'll look at it and say, there's no money in the budget.
Right.
And currently, people buy stuff without a budget. They just put it onto an account number, and later on...
And we don't always know how much is left or...
Right. This way, there's stops, so you can't even process that PO. There's no money in the budget.
Right. So. Yeah, that seems like an important process to be in place. And it sounds like, too, I mean, just from using some of our existing systems, like our internal finance software more, would allow us to streamline things, but also, like Tammy said, reduce the paper usage, which would be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my perspective, too, I mean, the number of, overnighted envelopes I get, I mean, those things, $5 or $10 to send one of those out easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money that organizations spend, like overnighting stuff to each other, when it's all in the computer already is always sort of a pain point with me because I just feel like it's just kind of throwing money out the door and it takes longer.
Yeah.
And also impacts the sustainability because every time there's an overnight envelope that's moving in a truck or...
Right.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I make this joke often, but it won't stop me from making it again. Or not really a joke, but a story where there was a signature, a multi-party signature that I was doing when I was an administrator in New Jersey. And I won't name the state agency that was involved, but we were going back and forth and we needed multiple different people to sign this thing who are all over the state. And it was like sort of, we were running out of time on something. And I asked the person if we could do it all electronically and they said no, even though I'm pretty sure federal law allows electronic signatures and has for 20 years. And I emailed back and I said, really though, do we really need to, you know, print it out and here and then sign it with a pen and then put it, pay someone to put it in their car and then drive it to somewhere else. And then they pay another person to put it in their truck and then they drive it. And he said, no, that's all too complicated. Just put it in the mail. And I said, I just described the mail. Like, that's what the mail is. We're paying people to put paper in cars and drive them around. Like, let's just call it is what it is. And that was part of my advocacy of trying to do more things electronically. But that's something that we've talked, obviously, a lot about here. And so it also sounds like part of this is not just sort of this kind of software side, but sort of educating and training other departments. This is a bit of the, you know, give a man to fish versus teach a man to fish,
yep.
right? If we can give folks their own better access, some do have some access,
yep.
But not everybody, not all the time. But if people had really good access to all their budget information, you know, I mean, we have a pretty, I would say our department heads do an amazing job with their spending with the information they do have access to. But if they had more, I feel like we'd be probably in even better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things that are sort of on anybody's minds, things, before we get into the really hard-hitting personal questions, is there anything on anybody's minds that you wanted to share of sort of like, you know, and not to put you on the spot, Ellen, but just coming in, I mean, anything looking forward that we want to think about doing differently? We're coming off this really difficult time, like we talked about, of several months of being, you know, significantly understaffed. You know, we had a few challenging handoffs on the finance side that has left us with not a ton of institutional memory and some processes that we need to fix. You know, in the middle of the budget, finishing the audit, a lot of stuff going on right now. what's next? What do you think is on the horizon?
I think once we get through all of these deliverables that have hard deadlines, I think it's really about stepping back and working on team building. And really understanding what tools we currently have that can help us do our jobs better, more effectively, and really move from a reactive mode, which you tend to be in when you're under pressure and short-staffed, to a proactive mode. Because, you know, when you're proactive and you're planning and you're delivering on time, you walk out the door at the end of the day and you feel great. You know, you feel really good and energized. You still might have things on your to-do list.
Always will.
But I think that to me will be a really important focus, probably once we're done with the budget.
Right.
But I think that's a key piece. We have a lot of really great knowledge here on the team, and I think we can do a lot of really good problem solving. So, you know, again, I think that'll be my focus. And then a second focus will really be getting out and getting to know the departments. Because as a finance team, we do support all the departments in town. And so I really look forward to going out. You know, the departments are located remote from where we are here in Town Hall. And just really look forward to getting out and spending time on the ground with each of those departments. Just learning how we as a finance team can support their organizations even better than we have.
Yeah, that's great. Those are all very exciting. And I think we all know the feeling of feeling like you're sort of in like perpetuity, just catching up all the time. It's not a great feeling. But I'm also glad you mentioned the part about, I mean, finance is one of the sort of meta departments, not unlike IT, not unlike human resources, where every department relies on this department to be able to function. That's not to be understated, you know, the sort of importance there. I think in long-term, you know, budget planning purposes, you know, when we get some of the internal workings a little bit more, kind of organized and in line with what our goals are for the department over the next few years, you know, then we can, that sort of allows us to be proactive in other areas as well, you know, from a budget and policy planning standpoint. But if we are, you know, if we're always sort of running catch up with the numbers, then like Ellen, you said, you can't really think about the other stuff. All right, so one of the things that, now we're switching to the hard hitting, unless there was anything else that anybody wanted to add there. Very recently, got some really great insight. I think they were delivered today, which is, the darn tough socks, which I'm just very excited about. This is one of the tips I picked up. I forgot how we got on the subject.
My mismatched socks.
Your mismatched socks. And then I think you and Carrie were talking and I overheard
yes.
something. Some people, as they get into their you know, 30s or 40s or later and start getting socks for presents, they get upset. I really enjoy them, but I'm always tearing my socks. And Tammy had a really great resource for Vermont-made, like, I think they're all merino wool or sheep wool. Like, it's all locally made and very durable. So that's exciting. I'm the only one who feels that way.
You know what you get for Christmas.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Or his birthday.
My really subtle hint dropping, right.
You like them to match?
No, actually, I used to sort of wear mismatched socks on purpose.
Oh, you did?
And, yeah, there was a period of time. So I know it's hard to believe now. I used to wear a suit every day almost. So like when I was in office, and part of it was, you know, being young, much younger than, and you know, there was a few meetings where somebody, you know, I sat in the meeting and they said, welcome. And, you know, they would say things like, when is the mayor going to get here? Like they thought I was the mayor's aide or something. I was like, no, it's me. So, you know, the wearing suits kind of ages you up a couple of years, but I like to wear really wacky socks with the suits so that if I'm like sitting back and people see like, you know, unicorns or something on my socks, but then it's all serious in the suit. So I'll share that personal story here.
That's funny.
I was trying to get you all to share a personal story. Here I am. Well, you were talking a little bit about some cats and dogs at home, Karen. So
yeah, that's my life these days, cats and dogs.
Tell us about, hopefully it's not raining.
I used to collect cats. I used to have a lot of munchkin cats. I had two munchkins, so those are the tiny ones.
Oh.
They got short legs.
Oh.
They're standard size, but their legs are this big.
Huh.
So I had two of those. And I lost those. So at one point I had six cats.
Okay.
And one dog. But the dog was never really mine. It was my fiance's at the time.
Did the dog and cats get along?
Oh, perfect. Oh, they sleep together. I only have one cat now and one dog.
Okay.
And they came together. They were given to
like
us.
They're a team?
That
sounded like a no.
The same person, actually, we babysat both of them. It was my fiance's daughter's animals, and she had to go away that weekend. Mm-hmm. So we took the dog, who then had a litter of puppies in our house. So, of course, I'm like, no, I don't want no animals. And my fiance said, we're going to have one.
Uh-huh.
So he sends pass. So I have the dog along with the cat that came on the same day. They sleep together, and they go in and outside together.
Wow.
That's adorable.
So when the dog wants to come in, and if the cat's in, he's at the window, and he does his yowling, and that means the dog wants to come in. So they're really close. So
they actually do kind of work as a team.
They work. They go out together, and when it's time to come in, if the cat isn't in, I'll let Lexi out, go find the cat, and she'll bring her back. He'll come back with her. I don't know if it's because, but they come back together.
So, I mean, I guess it really is a thing when animals are really young, like if they are, I guess, socialized to other animals at that age.
Yeah.
Because I see some of those videos online, you know, of like a duck and a cat or like a bear and a dog. And I'm like, how are they getting along like this? And I think it's all just from when they're like really little.
They sleep on the bed and the dog will lick the cat and the cat will lick the dog.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And the cat will nudge right up to Lexi. Until she says, okay, and then Lexi, and she'll lay down, and then Lexi will nudge her, him. So, yeah. So, and I got a new house a couple of years ago, so I've been having fun with my new home. And
fun or like lots of projects, or both?
Both.
Yeah.
But it's fun, because I have three sons. So,
you put them to work.
So they do the projects.
Sometimes I get them to work.
Sometimes.
So, yeah, it's been...
And are they around here? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. They all live in Thetford.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
I live
nice.
In Orford now. So, yeah, they're all
not
close.
Too far, yeah.
Two got married last year,
oh.
And one's having a baby in May.
Oh, that's exciting.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I guess I do have a life.
Yeah,
there you go.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
Well, I don't have any animals, but I have an animal story from the other night.
Take animal stories.
I live in the woods, so I have deer, bear, fox, bobcats. And the other night, around midnight, I heard a noise, and I thought it was a mouse in the house. And then I woke up enough, and it was really loud, so I thought it was a person in the house. And then realized it was coming from outside, and I have a wraparound deck, and I live in a geodesic dome, so I can't see out my windows to corners. So the next morning, I went out, and it was actually a deer. Had walked around my whole deck and slid on the ice that was near my bedroom.
And you saw, like, the hoofprints the next day.
Yep. So those are my animals outside.
Wow.
Or if they do come inside, they die.
I do see those videos sometimes, too, of, like, deer poking their heads into people's houses. That's interesting. So geodesic dome, that's also pretty cool.
Yep.
Right? One of the strongest structures, right? Snow loads, like, no problem. Wind, no problem.
So far, so good.
Okay, I don't want to jinx
it. It's been
a
couple years.
I've been there, about 5 years.
Oh, 5 years.
Yeah.
When was it built, Tammy?
1980.
Okay.
It was a kit house from out west.
Wow.
So I'm the second owner.
And so you were talking a little bit about wood heat before.
Yes.
And so you've got a wood stove in the dome.
Yes.
But the fuel source doesn't always...
Yes. You have to measure the wood carefully to make sure it fits in the wood stove so you can close the door and get to work.
Yep.
And if it doesn't fit, you can't go to work.
And I had that issue with the wood stove that was too small, and I got, maybe a half a quart of wood delivered, and every piece was like 2 inches too big.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So I was just trying to saw them all in half, but that felt...
Yeah. Usually I don't have too many oversized ones,
right.
But I do have a second wood stove that those go into.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Wow. Very cool. Ellen, is there anything that
I'll go back to animals. We have a dog, and she is a Great Pyrenees mix, so we are big dog families. Big
is that
dogs.
A small dog?
No,
a big dog?
No. Great Pyrenees are usually 120 pounds.
Yeah.
So
small.
So,
right.
Yeah. If
we're talking about bear.
Yeah, right. she's pure white, so she really attracts quite a bit of attention when we're out walking her. And
do you lose her in the snow?
We could. But no, my husband and I have lived in Hanover since May of 2020, so we're relatively new to the area, and just really enjoying being here. And since we're talking about homes, our home is quite unique. It was built in 1762 in Taunton, Massachusetts, and it was moved to Hanover in the 1980s reassembled, really.
Oh, wow.
So,
like they took it into pieces and then, like,
yes,
wow.
Yeah, and poured a foundation and put in new framing, but a lot of the original woodwork from the 1700s. So it is the brick from the center chimney, and so it's great. So it's unique, and we're very happy here. So,
that definitely. I feel like fits in the area. I lived in a house in New Jersey a couple years ago that was, we weren't sure exactly when it was built. The property record said 1800, not sure exactly when, but there was quite a few doorways that I couldn't walk through, which I learned very quickly once I moved in. I was just hitting my head on everything.
Wow.
And they were like maybe up to my chin.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. I mean, it was all the original, at least one of the sections was the original section. It had these huge. I mean, I don't know if they were like the sort of like timber that you just don't really get as much anymore.
Yep.
And it was beautiful, but you had to wash your head in a few spots.
Wow.
But it was also just kind of funny being in a house that old and just sort of thinking, people were in this house, before the Civil War, before electricity.
Yeah.
Like people were in this living room living.
Yeah,
and trying to imagine that, it's just weird when you're in those kind of spaces. And this building is a little like that here,
yeah,
right. Although this has been I don't know if it's been exclusively municipal uses. I know this was, we're over what used to be the fire bay, the fire department bays.
We were down where the police offices was.
In the jail. Your office was the jail?
The jail, yeah. I think that's why there's no cell phone service in there.
Oh, yours was the jail.
I think so.
So what was the basement? I thought they said that was
the
jail.
I didn't realize I was working in the former jail.
Yeah, we had that. Our municipal building in South Orange was similar. It was originally a firehouse, and then we had some pictures. I think there's
downstairs.
The horse carriages and stuff coming out of the front.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It was in the kitchen. I hope it's still there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and it'd be great to gather more of that kind of stuff and put
it
around,
too. That was
but it's just like, what kind of things? I mean, thinking about, okay, so I think that happened right below where we're sitting.
Yeah.
So there were people, like, trying to imagine this at that time with, you know, horse-drawn carriages responding to fires.
Yeah. I think it's at the Howe Library. I saw a whole...
Oh, yeah, probably.
...slew of pictures. Because I was like, I mean, the dirt roads,
right.
The... horses lined up on the sides, and I'm like, these are cool.
Yeah.
Now that'd be worth going to the library for.
Well, we got to do like a historic day where everybody can take their horse into, you know, into town. And
you can bring your dog.
Tie them up
enough.
On the outside. Yeah.
Well, we can have a bring your dog day with all this time up out front.
You can have a bring your dog day.
We used to when we were shut down during COVID. One lady... I worked in the tax clerk area.
Oh,
she'd bring her dog in every day.
Right.
Adorable dog.
Yeah, it was an adorable dog. Very well behaved.
Yeah, they'd all have to be well behaved, but that one was well behaved. But she, wheezy. She knew where to go to get food.
I think that was in Julia's office, right?
In Jeff, too. Jeff would give her.
Because there were some biscuits. I said, are these from? No, these are from
Yeah, because I think Julia told her it was okay to bring them in
mm-hmm.
when she was hired. Because she's like, I got no daycare for my dog.
Right.
Because she had just moved. Julia's like, bring them in. During COVID, nobody comes in. Because I think the office was closed for a while.
For the lobby?
Yeah,
area, right.
I think they couldn't come in. Or if they came in, they had to have. You know, one at a time, maybe. So she let the dog on. It was the best time because every day you go up to the dog.
Well, when our new HR director comes in, we'll have to put this on their list for some things to think about. An emotional support dog for everybody.
My dog could come in and she wouldn't move. She'd lay right in the basement the whole time. She wouldn't move. So that'd be a good
time. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
And then your cat would have to come.
That's true. Right. Whether you want to or not, you bring the dog. You're like, wait a second.
I've offered to bring the cat in occasionally because there's, you know, occasionally there's mice.
Right.
I'm like, we could get them just like that.
I'll take care of it right.
Yeah, but they're like, no, we'll catch them with little traps.
Just more traditional ways actually, I'm not sure which one is the traditional.
I know. I think the cat's better because
we
had one in our office that just kept jumping around in the trap.
Oh. Well, that doesn't sound great.
It was like, oh, it's moving.
Well, I appreciate all of you spending some time to share a little bit and to talk a little bit about the finance department. You know, part of the series is to help people in the public just sort of hear a little bit and understand all the work that goes on behind the scenes. And especially for both of you, Karen and Tammy, the workload on your shoulders these last few months has just been significant. And so we really appreciate all of the effort put forward. And we're really excited to have Ellen on board now and be kind of moving the ball forward. So thank you all for all of that work and for joining and talking a little today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for checking out this special spotlight episode of Hanover Happenings. If you'd like to find all of the episodes of our Hanover Happenings podcast and prior updates, you can do so at hanoverhappenings.com or on wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like more information about other things happening in town, such as monthly reports, agendas, minutes, events, videos, and more, you can do so at hanovernh.org. Thanks again for engaging with what's happening in your community.